Good morning and welcome. Welcome. It's great to see so many here this morning and visiting and enjoying each other's fellowship. We have quite a few visitors with us and several who are back that we haven't seen of the congregation that we haven't seen in quite some time. So it's good to have you here, and we really appreciate you making the decision to join us to worship God this morning. Before we have an opening prayer, I'd like to make one mention. In the back of the pew in front of you, there's a little manila-colored card. It's a welcome card for each of you, and we'd like you to take a moment to fill out one of those cards, whether you're a visitor or a member, so we'll have a record of your attendance. Later in our services, you'll be asked to pass those to turn those in. Let's open our worship with a prayer this morning. Pray with me, please. Father God, we humbly approach you this morning, so thankful for your blessings, so thankful that you are our God, that you're involved in our lives, that your providence guides us and takes us through every step of our life. Father, we pray as we gather to worship you this morning, that you will bless each of us to open our hearts in praise and worship to you. Help us to examine ourselves and listen to the lesson Russell has provided for us, prepared for us. Help us, Lord, to be more like you would have us to be. Help us to be the people, the church, that you would have us to be. Father, bless us as we worship. Help us to all draw close to each other in fellowship and closer to you. Thank you for Jesus and for his sacrifice and his love for us. Father, bless us this morning, we pray in his name. Amen.
Awesome power, boundless grace, none can fathom all your ways. Truth and love are found in your heart alone, righteousness. Praise the Lord, let the earth hear him. people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer the promise of God. The vilest offenders who truly obey, that moment may enter the heavenly way. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son and give him the glory, great things he hath done.
Scripture reading this morning will be from Nehemiah chapter 9, verses 16. But they, our forefathers, became arrogant, stiff-necked, and did not obey your commands. They refused to listen and failed to remember the miracles you performed among them. They became stiff-necked and in their rebellion appointed a leader in order to return to their slavery. But you are a forgiving God, gracious, compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in love. Therefore, you did not desert them. Even when they cast for themselves an image of a calf and said, "This is your God who brought you up out of Egypt," or when they committed great blasphemies. Because of your great compassion, you did not abandon them in the desert. By day, the pillar of cloud did not cease to guide them on their path, nor the pillar of fire by night to shine on the way they were to take. You gave your good spirit to instruct them. You did not withhold your manna from their mouths. You gave them water for their thirst. For 40 years, you sustained them in the desert. They lacked nothing. Their clothes did not wear out, nor did their feet become swollen.
Good to see everyone this morning. Isn't it good to be a Christian?
Amen.
Sometimes this time of year, people begin to wonder, what are the best gifts to get for people? And we often have information that says, these are the gifts of 2021. When I was a kid growing up, it was the 70s. Guess what some of the big gifts in the 70s were? Things like lava lamps and tie-dye shirts. And remember the flip clocks with flip? In 1977, Star Wars had come out, and I remember some people at services wearing Star Wars cufflinks to church. Also, we have a lot of people here that like cowboy boots. So, gold, glittering cowboy boots were in vogue in the 70s. But for me, especially in 1977, the second highest grossing film behind Star Wars was Smokey and the Bandit. And I was a teenager, and I wanted a portable CB radio. And my parents got me one. And I could talk to truckers, and I was learning all the lingo, and had a handle, and that was pretty exciting, especially where I was in Lubbock. There, you know, truckers would talk to you and things like that. Well, 2021 is a lot different. It's not tie-dye shirts. What's the popular gifts now? If you're a kid, they say one of the popular gifts this year is Nickelodeon, Paw Patrol, finger puppets. That's the big deal, if you didn't know. But things like Dutch ovens, portable banks that you can charge all your devices on, a hypervolt massage gun. I don't know if you've seen those or not. That's now everybody's stressed out and they're using these guns to help relax their muscles. A Brooklinen super plush robe. Number one is wireless, not earless, wireless earbuds. Maybe I'm going to have a new invention. Anyway, gifts. We always want to give the right gift, don't we? The perfect gift. Well, as we look in the pages of the Bible, we read about a lot of gifts that God gives us. And the perfect gift for imperfect people is a fresh start. God's perfect gifts: salvation, redemption, forgiveness. God gives us forgiveness. And before we become a Christian, we understand to get God's forgiveness, there's belief and there's repentance and there's confession and there's baptism, and there are those things that put us in that initial relationship with God. But after we start that journey and we progress as disciples, we still are caught in the dynamic of failing. We want to do right, but we still miss the mark. We still fail. In fact, all men sin and fall short of the glory of God. And once we become Christians, we still do things and fall away from God and have to make ourselves right. Well, how do we get that forgiveness? And in Nehemiah chapter 9, as we're thinking about the theme of "To God be the glory," it shows us God's faithful love, but it also shows us three steps in finding God's forgiveness and reveals to us things that we need to do and embrace in order to enjoy that gift, that perfect gift for imperfect people, a fresh start. First of all, it talks about confession. Admit your failure. Now, on the 24th day of the month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting and sackcloth and with dust on their heads. And those of the Israelite lineage separated themselves from all foreigners, and they stood and confessed their sins and iniquities of their fathers. They confessed their sins of the past and their sins, and that was part of what needed to happen in order for them to receive forgiveness. Because they failed, and they realized, someone in class this morning talked about our conscience, their consciences were pricked because they knew that they had missed the mark and they wanted things to be right with God. And in the backdrop of this is the fact that earlier Ezra had stood up in chapter 8 and he had read from the law. 6 hours as he stood to read the law, Israel stood and listened to the law of God be read for 6 hours. How would you like a 6-hour service where you stood the whole time? Everybody saying no. And at that point, they felt some remorse. But as they felt the remorse, they said, "Don't weep yet." And they bring in the tabernacle of booze and they say, "You need to celebrate. You need to feast. You need to remember things that are good about your relationship with God." And then the time would come for them to weep. That ended on the 22nd. On the 24th, they're all together and they're mourning. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." Mourn over their sin. Mourn over their failure. Sin can be trespass. Don't go over the line. We step over the line. It can be iniquity. We get off the path. It means to go zigzag. You might do it intentionally or non-intentionally, but you get off. We know there's a sin of omission and commission. But we also have the word, especially used in the New Testament, for sin which is miss the mark. And some of you here today, you know, we've all got, let's say you've got 20 arrows and I've got 20 arrows, and maybe you just miss the mark once or twice, but I miss it 20 times. But it doesn't make any difference, does it? If you miss the mark, you miss the mark. And you fail. And in our relationship with God, we know we always get into that pattern. Paul explains it various ways in his communication. Sometimes he'll talk about the natural man and the carnal man and the spiritual man. All of those sin and fall short of God's glory. But the way they recover from those things is different. And confession is an important part because we let God know, we admit our failure. We have failed. And we see the pattern here in chapter 9. What is chapter 9 of Nehemiah? Well, they are confessing their sin, and then they're going to worship God. And if you want to look in your Bibles in verse 3, it says, they stood up in their place and read from the book of law of the Lord for 1/4 of the day. That's about 3 hours. And another fourth, they confessed and worshiped the Lord their God. They confessed their sin. And there's going to be a prayer. And if you count the words, so I Googled it, copied it, put it in Word, and it told me how many words with the New King James Version, 1,188 words in this prayer. There's about 14 different prayers in Nehemiah. And this prayer is one of the longest. And it's going to give a history that's going to give us a beautiful picture of God and what His qualities and characteristics are like. But it's also going to get a picture of the relationship we have. We fail, God forgives. We fail, God forgives. We fail, and God faithfully forgives. And in this prayer, He's going to give 6 points of history where they failed God and His response to their failure, which was His love and His mercy and His faithfulness and His compassion. That was His response. And we marvel at stories like the story of the prodigal son coming home, and God runs and hugs him and kisses him. And it's a beautiful story of God's response to a prodigal son who left him and squandered everything. And when he has the opportunity, God runs to him, hugs him, blesses him. They kill the fatted calf. They have a celebration. It's a beautiful story. We see this in this text. And we see over and over again the failings of God's people. Now, I'm not going to read the whole thing. You could do it in about 6.5 minutes. It's not a long prayer when you think about that. It's a lot of words. But look at verse 15. It says, you gave them bread from heaven for their hunger and brought them water out of a rock for their thirst and told them to go and possess the land which you had sworn them. But they, our fathers, acted proudly, hardened their necks, and did not heed your commandments. They refused to obey, and they were not mindful of your wonders. They turned their back on God. Look at verse 28. But after they had rested, they again did evil before the Lord. Therefore you left them in the hand of their enemies, and so they had dominion over them. And when they returned and cried out to you, you heard from heaven, and many times you delivered them according to your mercies. And at the very end, They say that they are in great distress. Their servants are there. But they say, because, verse 37, because of our sins, they confessed their sin. It's important for us to confess our sin. 1 John says, confess your sin, and He is faithful and just to forgive your sin. God can't forgive our sin unless we confess it. However, it's not just about the doing the confession that's important. There's more to it than that. That's what we see in this prayer. But being honest with God about our spiritual condition. My granddaughter Ava is getting close to 5 years old. Her highest priority is not brushing her teeth. Sometimes she likes to avoid that if she can. And so she was asked, are your teeth brushed? And she said, yes. And then she was asked, are you sure that you brushed your teeth? And she said, I say yes, God says no. Now, how many times do we get in that same mindset? I say yes, I'm doing what's right, but God says no. We all fail, don't we? We fall short. But God gives the perfect gift for imperfect people, forgiveness. And that's why, after they confess, they worship God. They give adoration. They acknowledge God's love, His faithful love. And we get one of those statements, we are sinners, we fail, but God is forgiving. God is faithful. They refused to obey, and they were not mindful of your wonders, so that you did among them, but they hardened their necks, and in the rebellion, they appointed a leader to return to their bondage. But you are God, ready to pardon. Some of your translations will say, give forgiveness. Gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abundant in kindness, and did not forsake them. God is faithful. His love is faithful. And it's about His grace, and it's about His mercy, and it's about His forgiveness to us. And it's important for us to remember, God gives us forgiveness not for us to just accept the forgiveness. God gives us the forgiveness to worship Him. It's about Him. He gives us forgiveness so that we will give Him the glory. And the glory goes to God. Do we deserve it? No. In fact, mercy is not getting what we do deserve. Grace is getting what we don't deserve. All those things come to us from God. Think about the spiritual blessings we have in Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. And he talks about we've been adopted. We've been lavished in His love. We've been forgiven. We've been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. All those blessings that come to us from God. And so we kiss toward God. We worship Him. We adore Him. And all throughout this text, it's giving us a picture of God who created the world, who chose His people, who blesses His people, who loves His people. And the picture we get is over and over again, they fail, but God stays faithful. When I was a youth minister, I had a friend that was a chemistry professor at Sam Houston State. And sometimes he would do experiments that would be perfect object lessons. And there was one particular class that I taught at Lubbock Christian for Encounter about when you get in and you can't get out. And some of it had to do with addiction and stuff. But one illustration I used was there was a chemical experiment that you could use an industrial strength hydrogen peroxide and some other chemicals. You put them together and you start swishing it around, and it would turn from clear to blue to black. And so you'd start talking about when you were born, you were innocent. And then temptation came, and it turns blue. And that temptation gave birth to sin. And that sin separated you from God, and it turned black. And as I'm talking, I'm swishing it, but God sent Jesus so that He could forgive our sin, and all of a sudden, it turns clear again. But temptation comes again, and it turns blue again and black again, and it does it over and over. It's a cool experiment, right? I couldn't do it on my own, or I would have done it this morning. But those kids' eyes were like, and their hearts were touched, because all of us know that reality, don't we? We get up, we fall down. We get up, we fall down. But where is God? God has always given us His faithful love, His abundant love. And therefore, we adore Him and magnify Him and give Him all the glory, because He gives us that perfect gift for our failings, forgiveness. But be careful not to get up in, oh, I confess my sin to God, therefore He's forgiven me. Don't check the box. It's not about the gift. It's about the giver. It's about God. Part of the process of being forgiven is not just confessing your sin, it's worshiping God, the God that is above all gods, the God that is great. We ought to sing different, pray different, walk different, feel different, because we have a magnificent God in heaven that has loved us so much and given us the perfect gift, forgiveness. We got the best news in the world. We think some things are good news or magnificent news. We have the best message in the world, the forgiveness of sins. And the God behind that, all the glory should go to God. But it leads to commitment, actively following God. You can confess your sin and you can worship God because He's forgiven you. I often got stuck. I sinned. I felt bad about my sin. And I've told you this before, my dad would often say prayers with me, you know, now that you've forgiven Russell, help him to forgive himself. Anybody else like me? No? But what is that confession and what does that forgiveness lead to? It is supposed to lead to change. I'm supposed to change. And we see that in this prayer. Look at verse 38. And because of all this, we make a sure covenant and write it. Our leaders, our Levites, and our priest will seal it. In chapter 10, they go through the process of writing it down, making the commitment to change. You can say, God, I'm so sorry for what I did. You can have godly sorrow. You can worship God and give Him adoration. But if you don't change, it's not true repentance. Godly sorrow should bring about repentance, change in your life. God doesn't want you to keep going back and back and back and back. He has created the relationship we have with Him to get us past that. But it's not based on rules. It's based on a relationship. So too many people check the boxes and don't have the relationship they should have with God. This is about God. This prayer is about God. To Him be the glory, because He gives us the perfect prescription to move from where we are in guilt and shame to walking with Him in the right way. John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 1, where it says, confess your sins, He's faithful just to forgive your sins. Above that, He says, walk in the light as He is in the light, and His blood will continually cleanse you. Take the very stain of sin away. There's a correlation between confessing our sin and us walking in the light. And then in chapter 2, He says, remember, I'm writing this so you don't sin, but when you do sin, remember, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one, who is the propitiation for our sins. And then He says, anyone who claims to live in Him must walk as Jesus walked. So it's about confession, it's about adoration, and it's about change. Making the change. God has given us all of that. There was a father who went to his son and said, I'm thinking about having a birthday party for you. What would you like? His son was 6 years old. And he said, what I would like is for you to play catch with me, play ball with me. And his father said, what kind of ball do you have in mind? He said, well, if you're going to be able to spend time with me, I want it to be a football so we can go in the backyard and we can play catch. But if you're going to be really busy and not going to be home very much, maybe give me a soccer ball because then that way I can go play with my friends. And the father told him that he would surprise him. He went in and talked to his wife, and they together said, he doesn't care about the gift. He cares about the giver. And when I was reading through all this stuff, it hit me. God wants us to realize it's not about the gift. It's about the giver. Amen. Sometimes we miss the point. When I sin, do I want forgiveness? Yeah. But is forgiveness, I can get fixated on just being forgiven. What I got to do to get forgiven? You know, dunked in the water? Okay, I'll do that. You might miss the point. Pray, confess your sin. So every night before I go to bed, Father, please forgive me of all my sins. I know I've done a lot of stuff I didn't know that I shouldn't have done. And we go through, we check the box. So we sleep well because we got a conscience that's okay because we did what? We did what we needed to get the gift. But it's not about the gift. In your life, in my life, it's about the giver. When I was between second and third grade, some of you have heard this story, a lot of you haven't. When I was between second and third grade, my mom's mom paid a trip for my family, my mom and dad and my sister and I, to go to Hawaii. We went to five islands. The very first island we went to was the island of Hawaii. We hiked up a volcano. I leaned too much on the rope. The security guy pulled me back. You know, but we were having this wonderful experience. And we went to this park that had all these like totem poles and Hawaiian gods. And we spent part of the day looking at all these things. And I was between second and third grade. And I was sitting by the ocean. And my dad said, what are you thinking about? And I said, someday I want to tell people about the real God. That's where it all started for me. I'm preaching today because that always played a part. Now, I had some ups and downs and crazy turnarounds to end up where I was and some big failings, but that's always been in my heart. In this particular chapter, we see the God who is there. This story and all the stories in the Bible are there not for us to enjoy the story, but for us to enjoy the giver, for us to enjoy God. Are you enjoying God in your life? That's what it's about. Giving God the glory. Whoever you are. I'm a preacher. I study God's Word all the time. But am I enjoying God? There's some people who preach that don't. Do I check the right boxes or do I really enjoy the giver? The prodigal son enjoyed the giver. You and I should be enjoying God. We sin, but God forgives. The message is yours. If you're here today and you need to become a Christian and get that initial covenant relationship with God and be baptized into Christ, we invite you to come. But more than that, may we all be moved to spend more time in God's Word, seeing God clearly, because it's about the giver. As we sing.
Please stand up.
Faithful love flowing down from the thorn-covered crown makes me whole, saves my soul, washes whiter than snow. Faithful love calms each fear, reaches down, dries each tear.
morning. It's time for us to prepare our minds and think about the sacrifice that was made for us when Jesus died and was hung on the cross for our sins. I have a couple of scriptures I'm going to read. First, in John 17, this is a prayer that Jesus prayed himself. It said, "Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began." And if we're looking in Luke 22, and this is when Jesus is at the Last Supper with the disciples, it says, "They left and found these things just as Jesus told them, so they prepared the Passover. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, 'I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God.' After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, 'Take this and divide it among you, for I tell you, I will not drink again the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes.' And he took the bread, gave thanks, broke it, gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you.'" We know after this, Jesus went and he was betrayed and he was denied. They made a crown of thorns and put it on his head, put a robe on him, a purple robe, and then he was made to carry his own cross. He did this and was hung on the cross, driving nails into his hands and feet. And it said, from the sixth hour to the ninth hour, that darkness came over the land. And the temple, curtains in the temple were torn in two. And that is when Jesus died at that point. But we do know that Jesus died for us, and then he was resurrected on the third day. And then Romans 6, something that we need to think about is to be dead to sin and alive to Christ that died for us. "What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so grace may be increased? By no means. We died to our sins. How can we live it in it any longer? Or do you not know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were there, therefore buried with him through the baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of our Father, we too may live a new life." Paul in Corinthians talks about the Lord's Supper, just as Jesus had said, "Take the bread, this is my body. Take of the cup, this is a symbol of the blood, the new covenant that was poured out for you." But he also says in there that a man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. Because if you do so, you're eating and drinking judgment upon yourself. And it got me thinking about the examination part. I just got a magnifying glass in the mail, and Jake and I were playing with it yesterday looking at things, and it also got me thinking about the first time that I got glasses and I could clearly see for the first time. I was about 35 years old, probably needed glasses when I was 25, put it off way too long. And I could no longer pass the exam at the driver's license office. So I went, they're like, yeah, you need glasses for sure. Got glasses on, I put it on, and I could see everything clearly at that point. Like leaves on the tree, I could see individual leaves. Before it was just kind of a green blur. And I hadn't realized how bad my sight had gotten. I went to go see my dad, and I had no idea he had so many wrinkles all over his face. And it's like getting HDTV for the first time, right? When you're really seeing things clearly. So that's not the vision that we are to examine ourselves, though. We need to scrutinize ourselves, look very closely, but look closely at not what is on the outside, but what is on the inside. How are we living our lives, and are we living our lives the way Jesus laid out for us in the Bible? At this time, we're going to say a prayer and partake of the bread. And then after that, have a few moments just for you to look internally at yourself and how you're living your life. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus. We thank you for this sacrifice that was made for us, that he came to this earth to bring a new hope, a new salvation to us, and that we know that all baptized believers that believe in him have eternal life with you in heaven. We pray that as we partake of this bread, that we're doing so that's pleasing in your sight, and that we spend some time examining our lives, and that we're living it according to your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us pray for the cup. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you once again in prayer, thanking you for this sacrifice and this blood that was shed. And the shedding of this blood frees us from sin. This one sacrifice that was done one time by your Son for all. We pray as we partake of this cup that we never forget Jesus' death and the hope that we have because of it. In Jesus' name, amen.
step by step you'll lead me, and I will follow you all of my days. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. I will seek you in the morning, and I will learn to walk in your ways, and step by step you'll lead me, and I will follow you all of my days, and I will follow you all of my days, and I will follow you all of my days, and step by step you'll lead me, and I will follow you.
Please take those cards that Wayne asked you to fill out. If you are in the main auditorium, pass them to the outside. If you are in one of the overflow rooms, pass them to the inside. Someone will pick them up right now. My goal is to say that faster and faster and faster every week.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me. Live, ever his praises sing. Love so mighty and so true merits my soul's best songs. Faithful, loving service to him belongs. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Souls in danger, look above, Jesus completely saves. He will lift you by his love out of the angry waves. He's the master of the sea, billows his will obey. He, your savior, wants to be saved today. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me.
As Kevin talked to us about the Lord's Supper and how important that is,
and reminds us of what he gave for you and for me. But at the same time, are we free not to do anything about that? He says in Acts chapter 20, from Jesus himself, he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So as we think about the opportunity we have, God allowed Jesus to give his total life, his body, his blood. All he asks of us is to give our lives and to give of our means. So let's always remember that we're so blessed and that we should give to God through the church so that the work of the church will continue. Let us please pray for the contribution. Father, it is our honor and our privilege to be able to have earned income through the life that we live in this country. And as we have received so many financial blessings, help us always remember that these are not ours, but yours. And help us to give back to you a much better portion than we give, than we receive from others. Help us remember giving is a command, it is also a blessing. So let us do so with a joyful heart and always with a liberal spirit. These things we ask in your name. Amen.